This is it.
I've got nothing left, man.
I know. One day, you'll tell your kids, when you were up against the ropes, or you were down and had nothing left, that you stood up and you fought for who you are.
This is A Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast. We have a new episode every week, always available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'll be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while we like to bring you interviews with independent filmmakers to kind of give you insight into both what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. The Challenger tells the story of Jaden, a troubled young man who has struggled his entire life with finding his place in the world. Realizing there is money to be made in boxing and facing eviction, Jaden turns to trainer Dwayne, who's played by the late Michael Clark Duncan, to show him what being a boxer is really all about. Kent Moran directed and stars in the film, as well as a whole lot more, and it takes a different approach to boxing films as Jaden isn't living his dream. He's finding his way. He hasn't always wanted to be a boxer. He's actually just trying to find out, like we all do, what job speaks to us. What do we want to do with our lives? And he finds out that boxing speaks to him. It also features a mixed family, as Jaden was a white kid who was taken in by an African-American mother, played by Paetha Murkerson. And the film casts aside the typical love interest for a more modern-day mother-son relationship. The Challenger is now on video on demand and DVD, so you can definitely watch that if you have not already. Be sure to go check that out. It is available. And it is worth noting that this is Michael Clark Duncan's final film. It was very sweet, and Kent put together a nice little goodbye at the very end of the movie, which I think was, I guarantee you, but at the end of the movie, stay through the credits, you will cry, you will get teary-eyed, it is worth it. I sat down with Kent Moran to talk about making his first film, what it takes to make a boxing movie, what it was like working with Duncan and the rest of the cast. I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm just going to stop rambling and let you guys enjoy the interview. Here's my interview with The Challenger's director, star, writer, and a whole lot more, Kent Moran. Hey, Kent.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks. How about yourself?
Good. You got to be excited. Your movie's finally coming out. I know it's been a little bit of
a
run for you. You've been working on this for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, it's been a little while, definitely. So yeah, I mean, we were happy in September, and now we're even more excited for the video on demand release now. So
the first thing I got to ask, what drew you into wanting to be a filmmaker to begin with?
I came about it a little different, I think, than most, because I'm still mainly an actor, and I've been acting, my whole life, kind of thing. And then when the writer's strike hit in 2008, there was no real work going on, so I sort of turned to screenwriting, and that's where I fell in love with the storytelling aspect of it. And then I was able to raise money for my first film, and we ended up shooting it. And during that film is when I fell in love with the directing part as well, and got to see just how influential the director is in the outcome of a film. And so it was really sort of learning by doing for me.
Really? So it wasn't like you always wanted to be a director. You primarily just wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, acting and music have been my main passions, and then I fell in love with directing sort of by chance.
Well, I'm watching the credits for the Challenger, and your name is everywhere. I mean, there's writing, directing, acting, editing. So this is definitely a passion project for you. I'm kind of curious, how did it come to be, this story in particular?
Well, this story was, even before I wrote Listen to Your Heart, which is my first movie I put into production, mm-hmm. I actually had written this script, and so I've been thinking about this for a while. Yeah, wearing all those hats sort of was just a function of, I never thought I could originally do a boxing movie that ends up in a big arena and everything for a small budget like we did. So I really had to wear a lot of hats to not only save money, but just be creative in the solutions to the budget problem. And I ended up being glad I did it. I probably won't ever wear that many hats again, but I learned a lot again on this film, and I can use that as a director in the future.
What was hardest, do you think, out of all those hats you wore?
Yeah, I mean, directing is definitely the hardest overall, just because it lasts so long. You know, it's like the project is your baby, and you're with it from the inception to the release of it, and it's still going on as we speak right now. So yeah, that's definitely the hardest, but the editing is also challenging. You know, that was something I did for the first time on this one as well. So
why do you feel like that's so challenging? I'm kind of curious about the behind the scenes and whatnot.
You know, I don't know if challenging is the right word, but again, it's time consuming, and that mm-hmm. and it's a lot more time consuming than I think people realize. And I'm sort of a perfectionist when it comes to, I want to look at every single take that we did and make sure that I'm using the best stuff. So it's sort of just going through it over and over again. And then when you're editing, what happens is after a while, you sort of don't remember or don't have that you know, secondhand person looking in and saying, oh, this is how it should be, because you're just lost in it. So you have to take a few weeks off, show some people, and get feedback and all that stuff. So it's definitely a process, and it's a lot of fun. It's like writing a script in a way, except you're writing it after you shot it. So that's the cool part.
Were you really excited to do like a boxing montage, which is required in movies like this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. That was one of my favorite parts. That was a lot of fun.
How do you identify the songs that you use for that?
For this soundtrack and for the score, for the soundtrack first, I wanted to use mainly unknown artists that like Jaden in the movie. I wanted to like give a chance, so I used some Bronx rappers, some LA rappers, and some other talented artists. And we have an album we'll be releasing soon with the VOD release of that, and I'm happy with that. And then the score, I was able to find this amazing composer, Pinar Toprak, who did such a great job on our film. And she was just a pleasure to work with, and I was really happy with what she was able to do with it.
Now, let me ask you about the story, because when you start a boxing movie, over the course of history, we've seen a few of these, right? But I like the twist on the cliche of the story you put here, where you have a regular guy who kind of finds his calling later in life, as opposed to the normal story where everything he's always wanted was to be that boxer. I really like that, because at least it's a different approach. Now, how do you approach a story like this to make it your own when you've got Rocky and so many other symbols out there?
Sure. One of the things I wanted to do was make this as realistic as I could in terms of what it might be like to be a boxer today, and the steps in the Bronx especially that hasn't been focused on lately. So I that was important to me, and also sort of the reality show culture that we're living in, and I wanted to incorporate that as a way that, you know, a relatively new boxer could actually make it to the light heavyweight title, because we're also interested in seeing this underdog story.
Mm-hmm.
So those were elements I wanted to tell, and then I like how you mentioned that, yeah, he doesn't find boxing till later, and the story really is about, it's a coming-of-age kind of story where he's, like, finding who he is and what he wants to do with his life, pretty much. And it's the support of his family structure and family unit that helps him get there, and him believing in himself. So those are the elements I wanted to tell in more of like a modern day. Because obviously, like you said, there's a lot of boxing movies that have been made. So that's how I was trying to differentiate.
Well, I like that, because it really felt like, even though it's a boxing movie, we've seen boxing movies before, but you have a character who it's really like everybody else finds their job, you know, in life, whatever your job is, that you stumble upon it, you find your calling, maybe when you're 20, 30, 40, you don't know what it is, but it isn't always like Rocky, where it's the ultimate dream. And I like that twist.
Right.
To it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have any training, or did you just run around randomly causing street fights?
So as I was writing the script, I actually did 7 months of training at Wild Card Boxing here in LA, which is Freddie Roach's gym.
Mm.
And that was really awesome. That's how I got to learn all about the boxing, and I wrote a lot of those training sessions into the movie itself. And then when we were filming in New York, I had a Golden Gloves boxer who was training me in New York. And, yeah, so the training was intense, and I was, like, running 6 miles in the morning, filming 12 hours a day, then coming back and, you know, doing it all over again the next day. So it was a lot, but it was fun and exciting.
So tell me how do you do the setup in the actual ring? Because, I mean, you've got the crowd surrounding it. I assume you're trying to get energy. Do you do it all at once? Do you do it over the course of a week? Do you shoot all the fights at the same time? How exactly do you do that?
So that was my biggest concern before I even decided to make this movie. You know, how am I going to accomplish what is supposed to be like a final fight in a big arena? First thing we did before we filmed is I just studied all the boxing movies that we've all seen and studied the shots in the ring and figured out how they did those shots. And most of these bigger budget studio films, you know, can spend 4 days, 5 days just doing one fight in those arenas. We had 1 day. We shot everything in 4 hours that you see in the fight, which takes up like 30 minutes in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we were able to accomplish that was we piggybacked on a light heavyweight event, an actual fight, and we partnered up with Star Boxing at the Times Union Center. And they had 5,000 fans in attendance, and we were able to promote the event. And after the fights that were there, we filmed it like a normal fight. We had 5 cameras set up, and we did the walkout and round by round, tried to make it exciting for the audience. And that's really how we were able to do it, make it more like a live event. And then in post-production, we were able to, you know, fill the stands with even more people that we, you know, shot for visual effects. So, yeah, it was pretty intense, and it was 4 hours of boxing turned into 30 minutes of the movie, which is cool.
Was there any actual fighting? I mean, actual contact, or was it pretty well choreographed?
We were always hitting each other, even in the choreography. Any body shots are real. Some of the face shots are real. We didn't mean to hit each other in the face, but certainly that happened. And Justin and I, after the next day, we were joking about just how sore we were. Our arms from hitting each other were, you know, very sore. So it was fun, though. It was like a real event, boxing like that in front of all these people.
Yeah, and it was cool seeing Justin Hartley in this, because people might not realize he's the original Oliver Queen.
That's right.
It was pretty cool to see him. I haven't seen him in anything for a while. It was pretty cool. Were you guys friends? I guess I should ask. Were you guys friends?
Real quick story. No, what happened was when I had known about him because my manager, when I first came out here, was sort of comparing me to him, and then that's how I found out about him, and then I became a fan of his as I was watching his stuff. And one day I see him at the gym that I work out at, and so I just randomly, because I was casting this role and I had looked at him for this role, so I randomly went up to him, introduced myself, we ended up talking, and so we hit it off, and he decided to read the script and liked it, and that's how we got him. So
nice.
It's interesting.
Well, I'm sure you've been asked a lot about this being Michael Clark Duncan's last film, and his message to the audience over the closing credits. I thought that was a really sweet reminder of just how great this guy is, and as an actor, as a person. Can you talk a little bit about him, how he came to be involved in The Challenger, and what it was like working with him?
Sure, yeah. He was a great guy, and as we all know, a great actor, and we were just so lucky to have him on board. I was actually in a meeting with his agent at the time to potentially represent me as an actor, and that's at the time that we were casting this, and it made me think about him, and so I talked to them about, could we get him the script? So we got him the script, and he really connected with it, and so he actually came on as an executive producer as well. And yeah, it was great. We worked really close with him for like 2.5 weeks every day on this, and him and I in particular got close because we were in so many scenes together, and he was just such a professional. When it came to the takes, every single take I could use, they were all fantastic. And what I would do with him was just let him improvise after the take was over for like minutes at a time, and a lot of the dialogue in the movie are those gems that he was improvising that weren't in the script, which was great. To work with professionally was great, and then in between takes, he was just so much fun and talking to everybody, not just people in the cast and crew, but extras, and he just had a big heart.
Did that make it harder for you as the filmmaker to actually get the movie out in terms of, well, both personally and professionally, I would say?
Yeah, you know, that made, honestly, the editing pretty hard because it was such a devastating loss for us and me, and then I was editing him every day and seeing his face. But it also put a lot of, I guess, responsibility on my shoulders to make sure that the movie was as good as it could be. So we definitely put the extra effort in to do everything we could for the budget on this film and deliver a movie where I think he's got a great performance for his last.
You both did great. It was a surprisingly well told. I mean, and I don't say surprisingly, like I didn't think you had it in you. Just because when you've seen so many boxing movies, you know, as soon as one starts, you're like, I kind of know how this is going to go. And you had you had a lot of tweaks to the story, which I found really refreshing. The fact that he's his backstory, his childhood, his adoption, you know, all that sort of thing. All of that really added to the story, I thought. So it was nice touches.
Thank you.
So what's next for you? I know you're working on a James Dean biopic.
Yeah, that's one of the projects I'm thinking about. We don't have a finished script on that, but we have something close. And I also have just finished writing another script that we'll be pitching around town soon and figure out which one we'll do next.
Do you want to direct? Do you want to keep directing, or would you rather just go back to being an actor and getting to relax a little bit?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know what? The directing, like I said, takes a long time, and mainly being an actor, I had to turn down other projects because I can't really go off and do something if I'm responsible for directing something. So I definitely love directing. I want to go back to acting some more now, though, in the next couple years. And if something right, like one of these projects I'm writing, if it feels right and we can get a proper budget where I can direct and comfortably, I'll probably do that. But yeah, the acting is my focus right now.
Do you think that doing all of this has changed your craft at all? And I know I got to let you go here in a second. Just last question.
Wearing all these hats, you mean?
Yeah, wearing all these hats as an actor. Has it changed how you go about, how you perform?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what else really helps me as an actor is just having gotten the ability to act with such great people, you know? Sybil Shepherd in my first film, Michael Clark Duncan, and Apatha, who we haven't talked about that much, was just fantastic to work with, and Justin Hartley. So these people, like, teach me a lot, just watching them work. And then wearing all these hats really helps me to just understand not just the performance, but how that performance is going to translate ultimately on the screen. So, yeah, it all helps each other. I mean, it's all part of the storytelling. So,
speaking of Apatha, when you were writing the film, it seemed to me that the mother-son relationship was a really strong component to what the story you're trying to tell. Is there any particular reason why you chose to go that route as opposed to just focusing on the boxer? You wanted to bring in this mother-son component, the adoption, his childhood, and everything else. I mean, it really felt like it was more a family drama than a boxing drama, so to speak.
Yeah, that was definitely done on purpose. Most boxing movies usually have a love interest, and if you notice in this one, there's not. And in a way, the family is sort of the love interest in this movie. And I wanted to show sort of a family dynamic, and it's not a traditional family. He's adopted, you know, parent, his mother's black, he's white, and then the trainer almost being like a father figure. It's something we haven't really seen much, so I wanted to explore that and just show that family doesn't have to be blood, and also what does family mean to you and how can that help you in your life. So that was definitely a big part of what I wanted to tell in the movie.
Well, good job. It's coming out soon, so everybody should definitely check it out, The Challenger. Best success on the release on video.
Oh, thank you so much, Aaron. It was great talking with you.
You too. Take care. There you go, guys. What do you think? I hope you enjoyed it. Kent Moran's The Challenger is now on video on demand and DVD. Independent film always needs the audience's help, so please check it out as soon as you can. We try to bring in interviews with filmmakers in the world of independent cinema when we can, so I really hope you enjoyed this one. Remember to subscribe and review us on iTunes. My review of the film will be on the website, thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, whatever podcast app you use. We're always there. Our normal show has a new episode every Thursday and is also available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater or you watch The Challenger on video on demand or DVD, buy popcorn.
I've seen too many boxers waste their talent, waste their lives because they were afraid of losing, but mostly afraid of winning. When I first met you, they didn't even know your name. Now listen to her.
That's my son. He's out there fighting for me.